You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
We're continuing our series on special days. There's just all kinds of days that come in May and in June, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and different things like that. And so we just kind of made a series with kind of picking some of those days that fall in their day season, and we're just talking about some of those. And so today we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday. For those of you who aren't familiar with the church calendar, Pentecost was a Jewish calendar festival, and it means Pentecost means 50, so it's actually 50 days after Easter comes Pentecost. And so we're going to look at that today. Now, we're going to do something because it's year of the Bible. We're going to attempt a great feat this morning. And that is, I'm going to read the entire Bible. No. But we're going to read the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts. So we're going to read the whole second chapter of Acts, okay? So it's going to take probably about 4 minutes. So how many can pay attention to Bible reading for 4 whole minutes or 4 and a half, however it takes? It's a great feat. Hey, it's a hard thing to do these days. And so let's tune into God's Word, shall we? From the second chapter of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all that we are witnessing, being therefore exalted at that right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God add his blessing to the reading of his own holy word. We did it. Pentecost, or Shabbat, it's the Hebrew word, has also been known as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Harvest, or the latter First Fruits, celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. It's a joyous time of giving thanks and presenting offerings of the new grain, the summer wheat harvest. And I think we got a picture of the feast. I think Richard put this one up a while ago. So you can see on the Jewish calendar where Pentecost came and how it lines up with our calendar as well. Also in Jewish, a Jewish understanding is that Pentecost is also the celebration of the giving of the law. When Moses went up the mountain, he ascended up the mountain, and what did he come down with but the Ten Commandments? And so in the Jewish tradition, you also at Pentecost would be celebrating the receiving of the law, where Moses went up the mountain and came down with the law. But a greater fulfillment in Christ is that Christ, after he was crucified and rose again, what did he do? He ascended unto the Father and sent Holy Spirit. So you see this parallel between Jesus being the true and greater Moses, who goes up onto the mountain, into the mountain, but doesn't just give us the law, but gives us the Holy Spirit to have the law written on our hearts. And so we're going to look today at three aspects then of the Holy Spirit's work. In fact, entire denominations are known as what? Pentecostal churches. And basically what that means is the focus, or the high value, shall we say, of the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And here at this church, we believe in the Pentecostal power. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look a little bit on this day about what this special day is and what it means to us here today, 2015, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, North America. So let's look at three things. First of all, the Spirit unites. Secondly, the Spirit empowers. And thirdly, we're going to look at the Spirit leads. So first of all, the Spirit unites. This group of followers was united after this baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was actually no church at that time. After the resurrection of Jesus, there were people that followed Jesus and believed in Jesus, but there was no church. There was no movement that could be called that. From a historical point of view then, Pentecost is the day when the church was birthed. And so it was like, I got a candle image of just, it's like the birthday, one day old, I guess, of the church. So after that, we see it wasn't until after this experience that they started to meet together. And you see that they were listening to the apostles' teaching, that they had a sense of a community together. So without the Holy Spirit, the early followers of Jesus weren't even brought together yet. It was after this experience that they were able to, they were alerted and ignited, said, hey, we're a people together. We're actually united together into a body. They were a diverse family from the beginning. All of a sudden, all these people came from all over to celebrate Pentecost, and when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they all came together. It was amazing. From the beginning, they were united as a diverse family. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Look at the list of nations that received the Spirit simultaneously to form the new church. Acts 2:7-11. This is astonishing to me. Said they were amazed and astonished because they were saying, are all not these speaking, Galileans? So that these supernatural tongues that were being able to be spoken as God's Spirit was outpoured upon the early church. They were hearing them in their own language, and then they began to list them. Parthians, Medes, Amalites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonged to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, wow, what a church. And they didn't know anybody. They didn't know one another. But they knew one another as soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They knew one another by the Spirit. The Spirit's power unites us. When you even think of just this room, to be honest, I'm this little Canadian boy from Vancouver Island. My sister's here this weekend visiting, regular family, Vancouver Island, 7 kids. What business do I have uniting with all of these people here in Toronto from all around the world? I should be back home just with my little group. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He baptizes you into a body. He baptizes you into a family. And that family is a wonderful family. And they're a diverse family. And they can be from anywhere. And everywhere. And you know what? That's not weird to me anymore. It's normal. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit gets on the inside of you, something changes. The Holy Spirit unites us. And this early church was the first body of believers was an incredibly diverse church. And they recognized the early Jewish apostles, and they didn't have a problem with it. The first set of apostles were all Jewish people. God had called the Jewish people for a special calling, starting with Abraham. And they are the ones who received the law. They were the ones who God first called together to then export the relationship with God, right from the very beginning. And so this group of people didn't have a problem with the Jewish people. And they saw, okay, Jewish people, God called you kind of first and separated you guys out to kind of, you know, understand who God was and how this works. And now they're saying, now Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And these people were able to honor the Jewish apostles because they were all Jewish. The early church was led by Jewish people. That's why I don't have a problem with Jewish people. My Lord was Jewish. And they had a respect. They honored God and what he had done. But at the same time, they were brought into this diverse family. It just seemed like prejudice was just swept away somehow. Secondly, they were also united with a new outlook. You know, they just didn't look through natural eyes anymore. I love 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." See, we don't, if you want to be saved, if you want to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you can't look at Jesus as just a historical figure. If you do, then he can't be your Savior and your Lord. You have to have new eyes. All of a sudden, Jesus isn't just this guy written about in the Bible. No, he is someone who has come to save me. And when we see that he is also the Son of God, and he is part of our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, then when we look through and we see that revelation of who Jesus is, then he can save us. And he will. But in the same way, it says that we're to look at no one according to the flesh. We're supposed to see them with these new spiritual eyes. And so the Spirit doesn't only unite, but the Spirit gives us a new outlook. These new believers saw people according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And this is so important, especially for us in a city like this, which is so diverse. We can allow differences to intimidate us. And if we walk in the flesh, you know what happens when you walk in the, when we talk about the flesh, when we talk about that, we're talking about just using natural reasoning and natural understanding. That's what the flesh is. It just means just normal reason without a higher understanding, a higher vision. Then what can happen is we can be intimidated. You know, because some cultures are kind of loud and direct. Honestly, I've been accused of that even. I can't believe it. I'm not loud and direct. Never thought I was anyhow. But it just depends how you... Now, some cultures now, they're loud and direct. You know, and so... Or there's just... You know, some cultures, they like their food really spicy. You know, I think I have two sons from another culture. Because they're just like, where did you get this? Like, you know, there's just a lot of differences. But those are all differences of the flesh. Those are differences of the taste buds. Those are differences in communication style. Those are not things that are meant to divide. But we have to have the Spirit's power to look through all of that and see someone not through spicy food person, but to see them after the Spirit, that they're made in the likeness of God and they're a spiritual person just like you and I. It doesn't matter their skin color. It doesn't matter their natural culture that they grew up in. They are really part of one blood, one race, the human race. We're all God's children. And the Holy Spirit baptizes us to see that and to feel it and to not be intimidated. If someone is, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we can be intimidated. Oh, if someone's, you know, really wealthy. Oh, you know, we don't have the clothes like that. Who cares? In the spirit realm, you are no different. Or if maybe we're, you know, uncomfortable if a street person, someone, no, they're made in the image of God. And we don't have to be intimidated. The Spirit blows away that intimidation and allows us to see through spiritual eyes. The Spirit unites us in these things. Spirit pulls us together. Secondly, the Spirit also empowers. It doesn't only unite us, but the Spirit empowers us. Okay, now. What superhero did you want to be when you were growing up? Hulk, I have a Hulk over here. What is it? Why down through the ages? And this isn't just a modern phenomena. The idea of superheroes and things like this and in ancient mythology, it's always been with us. Do you realize that? There's always been something in the heart and in the quest of all people that, you know, I need a superpower. I should have a superpower. As children, we dream of a superpower. We dream of something more. You know, and I believe that we have been given a God-given desire to be supernatural. Because God is supernatural. The Spirit is supernatural. And so there's something in ourselves that says there should be something more that I should be able to exude. There is something more that I should be able to tap into. I should be able to fly. Maybe not. But something beyond. And you know what? God put that there. God put that in us. Because we are physical bodies with a mind, but really, we're a human soul. We're a spirit. And there is a desire for things of the spirit within us. They're of the supernatural. There's of the spiritual nature. And so we ask ourselves the question, well, who will the Spirit empower? Who will the Spirit come upon? And do you know what the answer to that is? All flesh. No one's left out. God wants you and I, wants every person to experience something of His supernatural spiritual power. In Acts 2:17 and 18, it says, "It shall be in the last days, God says, that I shall pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I shall pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." That means speaking forth the supernatural words of God. I was talking about that at the end of worship. It's His word. His written word, but also His inspired word. For the moment, for the time, supernaturally directed words from God given are powerful. Prophesy, it's not just foretelling, but it's forthtelling. There's a moment, there's something of a now word. It's not just a prophecy or a prediction. Sometimes when we think of the word prophecy, we just think of a prediction. And God does have that too. He can show us things, snippets of the future. There are gifts that He enables us for those. But God pours His Spirit on everybody, about the sons and the daughters. You see, in that culture, this was radical. You realize how radical it was? Because in that culture, if you were young, I mean, you just had no status. I mean, it was very much, you know, age, you're not, no, not yet. Not yet. Like, it was very much that unless you had, you know, a certain age and a certain status, that you were, you know, you just had no standing. So without regard to age, here's another one. And this is, do you realize how far ahead of its time this is? Men and women. God pours out His Spirit. Men and women, young and old. He pours it out on all flesh, on all people. It's such an equalizer. Just think of it. God's Spirit rising on each and every one of you in some way, some shape, form. It unites, it equalizes it. God doesn't play favorites. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He doesn't have any grandkids. He's just got children. Not that grandkids are a bad thing. It's just that there's not too a level down. We're all directly connected to the Father, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. What does this Spirit look like? What does this power look like? So we're saying that the Spirit empowers. What is it? How does the Scripture describe this? When Jesus, before he gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the good news, he told them to wait in Jerusalem. In Luke 24, 46 through 49, I have it on the screen for you. It says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you." This is Jesus speaking. But then he said, "But stay in the city." So he's like, you need to go, but stay for now. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You know, it's interesting that his first commandment wasn't go, it was stay. And here's this phrase that I just love that I want to draw your attention to. Clothed with power from on high. It's like a jacket or a mantle that you put on. But it's not just a human jacket. There's a clothing of God's Spirit that he has for each one of us. Our faith isn't just an intellectual assent. I believe this list of things now. And there is a part of loving God with your mind and believing a certain thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. But there is also an experiential realm where we receive the cloak of God's Spirit. We're clothed with his power from on high. And here's the thing. You need both. You know, we have year of the Bible. Maybe next year will be year of the Spirit. You got to have both. You know, I know the Pharisees in the Old Testament, in Jesus' day, they actually had the Bible memorized. But Jesus told me, he said that, yeah, you got all the words memorized, but you don't understand still the power of God. And so it's both of those coming together. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when we receive this power from on high, what we receive it to be as witnesses to advance the gospel and to live this life. I love that word, this word power. In the Greek, it's the word dunamis. Dunamis is the word in the Greek. I mean, you can guess what word we might get from the word dunamis. Dynamite. That's right. So there's something of, when we talk about God's power, we're talking about something amazing. We're talking about something great. We're talking about something so awesome. And its manifestations in all his gifts and all the different ways that is. And this word dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. And this new clothing of power allows us to be and do things we could never do before. It allows us to be who we are to be and to do things that we are to do by relying on the Spirit's power. I mean, in my own life, I can't imagine doing the things that I'm doing today. It's really, I'm too afraid, to be honest. Like, to do the things that move and to do the things, I mean, do you realize, you know, even in downtown Toronto, I heard from a pastor this week before he planted his church, he did some studying on downtown church plants, and he had found that there was 22 straight failures before he started his. 22 people. In fact, there was one that started up before us here in this very place. So, I don't know if you've noticed lately, but people aren't signing up. Hey, you know, I want to give my life to God. You know, hey, I want to find a great church. I mean, that is not the environment that we find ourselves in. We need God coming down in this city and upon our lives to do what we're going to do, but also for the calling that he's called you to do. You can't do it. You can't. We talk about this, follow the call. You can't do it just because you decide to follow the call. You can't even find out what the follow the call is without God's Spirit. And certainly when you start following, you're not going to have the capacity within yourself to do it. You've got to be clothed with power on high, and so do I. So the Spirit unites, and the Spirit empowers us. And that quest for that superhero part, it is satisfied in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the satisfaction of that comes from. It's actually okay to be a superhero, but it's not a superhero in a fanciful way. What it is God's Spirit coming and revealing the fullness of what we can be by the power of His Spirit. That's what that is. It's not, and so we can find ourselves stepping out in ways that we could never step out before, doing things that we could never do before. That's how the Spirit enables us. And it's a wonderful life to live. And we have to not just one time receive this power for high, but the Bible exhorts us to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not sort of like a one-time thing. There's usually a powerful experience that we can have when we're saved and when we give our lives to God and we can ask for this baptism. But then we're asked to continue to ask for it, to be filled and refilled. Thirdly, the Spirit leads. What is the purpose of this power? See, when Jesus gave the Holy Spirit and you'll be clothed with power from on high, it was for His mission. Not our mission. His mission. The Spirit led the early church in its expansion to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the good news to all people. Everybody has a part to play in that. No one's exempt here. You say, well, I'm just going to come and sit and, I'll give my tithe. I'll maybe sign up to a volunteer team or something like that. Uh-uh. God calls every single one of us to be a part of both the Great Commission, which is telling the good news, showing the good news through our life. He calls end to the great commandment of loving one another. I'm sorry, I wish I could exempt you, but God doesn't. I can't exempt who God doesn't exempt. So in actuality, every one of us who comes to God is also sent from God. We're brought to Him, but we're also sent from Him. And one of the reasons why we don't do that more is because we're lacking Spirit's power. We're just thinking in terms of, oh, I don't know how I can do this. You can. You need His help. You need His grace. I need His help. I need His grace. Maybe just the first part, what I shared earlier of just being able to look at someone from another culture and reaching out to them. That's a big step. I know it's like when I started that. I'm just from a little town on Vancouver Island. I mean, just moving to Vancouver and seeing the diversity. I knew of the black family in our city. The one black family. Now I'm in Vancouver. Like, oh man, there's people from all over. How am I going to do this? How do you do that? Spirit's power. And honestly, there was just a change in my heart. And all of a sudden I go, da 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 da. I could see X-ray. It's like, hey, they're just people. They're just people. And it was the Holy Spirit that just empowered me and that gave me that ability to just say, hey, they're just people. You're seeing them now through spiritual eyes and not according to the flesh. And it's amazing and it's a powerful experience. So the Spirit leads us, and the purpose of the power is for the expansion of His mission. So what about us? God has called us to follow Him and to be used as vessels for His glory in the work of His kingdom. And we don't make a separation. That doesn't mean I want all of you to be pastors. That would be awful. I mean, because we don't need that many. I mean, but everyone is called to be a missionary and a sent one in all of our different professions. We are all called. Every single person is called. And so we are people responding to that call. And we're called to announce and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Now listen, We say, what does it mean to be missional? It means to announce and demonstrate the kingdom of God by word. He's talking about it. By deed, that means showing it through our kindness, through our generosity, but also by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be missional then, to be a sent one in the name of the Lord, it's by word announcing, by deed serving, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where we can literally, the Spirit can give us supernatural information to help people. In fact, it even empowers what to say and how to serve, because that's the Spirit's voice in our life. So he can and will lead us. We can ask, when we are reaching out to others, we can say, Holy Spirit, what's next for this person? See, we're getting all hung up. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to serve others. I want to be a good witness. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid I don't know what to do. Or maybe you just have given up. Some of you just given up. Don't give up. Get back in the game. And now, and then ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what's next for that person? You'd be amazed, as we're sensitive to the voice of God, the things that are so little but make so much impact in others' lives. And we do it by listening to His voice and letting His power come on our lives in a new and a fresh way. And that is how this church is going to grow. You know how this church is going to grow? By the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we'll do our parts. We're going to be faithful. You know ultimately how people are going to be reached, how things are going to change, how lives are going to be turned around? The power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so happy that I don't have to generate all of that. Rich doesn't have to generate all that. And as good as our worship team is and all our servants, you don't have to generate that. But the Holy Spirit, He is going to do His work. He is the one who is going to move in this city. He is not limited. You might say, see, you might be intimidated by Toronto. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's not. He is really not. You know your problem that's so big that you're so intimidated about? Guess what? Holy Spirit's not near as intimidated as you. In fact, He's not intimidated at all. Because He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees it all. He knows all. And He can change it. He's got it all under control. Isn't that great? And so as we conclude today, can we stand together? Can we ask God on this Pentecost Sunday for a fresh baptism of His Spirit today in our lives? You know, the Holy Spirit is so creative. There are different ways that He manifests upon us. You can get into the Bible. I don't want to make this about speaking in tongues and prophesying, but that is one of the manifestations of the Spirit. But for every person, you can pray the simple prayer, come Holy Spirit, my life, fill me afresh, fill me anew. Maybe something in your heart says, look, I've really been living this in the flesh. I've been living it just according to human strength and capacity too much. I haven't been making allowances for the Holy Spirit's flow in my life. And so today, God, we just, even in this, as we close today and we apply this word to our hearts, we ask that You would baptize us afresh. God, I'm just going to talk for Bert Thompson right now. Lord, that You would baptize me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. That God, the gifts and graces that You've put on my life would be activated in full power. God, that I would hear Your voice more clearly than ever because of the Spirit's power. That I would be sensitive, more sensitive than ever before to the voice of Your Spirit, God. That there would be power and courage in my life by the Holy Spirit. When I hear a word, when I feel like the Lord might be directing me, that I'll be able to step out in it. Lord, I pray for a release upon this church, God, for the various expressions of the Holy Spirit. God, and the gifts and callings of God to be released among us. God, and that the uniqueness of every person and the gifts and the Holy Spirit
races, God would be fanned to a flame and set forth, God, in this place. And we desire, God, that even as the early churches, they were yielded to the Holy Spirit. You did amazing things. There were just one outpouring and 3,000 people were added to the church. God, we long for that day. God, but we want to be faithful in a little. Whatever we have now, God, we want to be faithful in it. And we trust you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for baptizing us and filling us afresh even today. Because you said if we ask, we shall receive. That if we seek, we find. That if we knock, the door is open. And we thank you for that fresh presence of your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.